Thank you for staying with us here on Monday Night Talk. Hope you had a chance to enjoy that political forum that we just had. Of course, moderated by managing news editor Christine James, two candidates we had in here, Bob Manning and Rick Collins, both gentlemen who will be on the April 30th ballot for folks to get out and cast a ballot for, that both candidates did a fantastic job. Fear not, coming up in a few moments, we will be speaking with my next guest, Dave Gosher. But I want to take this time just to remind folks, if you have missed any portion of this radio program, or any, maybe there's something that, you know, we've done on the program prior to tonight that you have an interest in going back and listening to, I definitely ask you to check out the over, I want to say we get about 715 podcasts, and it's not entire shows. I haven't done 715 shows here on WATD, but I have taken some of the shows, and what we do is we dissect the show so that when we make a podcast, it's of just that individual who is on at that particular time. It isn't one of those things. I know there are other programs, whether it's here on WATD or on other radio stations, where they'll put their entire show up in its entirety. That's okay. That's what they prefer. This lets me get a chance to kind of segregate each guest, and it gives them their own separate audience. And I also get an idea of who is tuning into which guest, which can, you know, what types of guests our listeners are listening to. And we definitely appreciate that, folks. Tune in to 95.9 WATD. We like to think of ourselves here as the voice of the South Shore, and we will continue to do so. I will also ask, so again, so if you missed the political forum that we had, that will be up in the next couple of days. That could be up tomorrow. It could be up Wednesday. It's just basically when I have enough time to separate it from the main audio that I get at the end of the show and make it its own and be able to put it up, and then we share it on social media. Now, you may not be somebody who follows me on Facebook, but I am out there on Twitter. You can feel free to follow me on Twitter at Kevin Tocci. And usually any of the podcasts that I put up are shared on my Twitter account. It's that easy just to go into my Twitter account, and you can kind of scroll through my all the tweets that I've done if there's a particular. Or you just go to Monday Night Talk. Actually, it's easy enough just to go to the WATD website. I'm sitting here talking in circles. But you go to WATD's homepage and scroll down. Just on the left, under all the show names as they go, I believe I might be under the Kathy D banner. You click on Monday Night Talk and some of our most recent podcasts. That'll take you right to the podcast site. It is that easy for you to be able to check out past shows. And like I said, you can follow me on Twitter, so you can find out if anything that I do post, that does go up. You can also send an email to mondaynighttalk@gmail.com. That's something to kind of keep in mind for future shows, ideas for guests. Maybe you like the local flavor when we have folks in from the different communities that we serve here in the listener area. Maybe there's somebody up at the State House that you want to have on. Maybe there's a special guest. Always willing to look into different guests for the listenership here on Monday Night Talk. We appreciate you tuning in every week, starting at 6:15, following the 6 p.m. news, and giving us a chance to inform you and keep you up to speed on a variety of things. And we have more political forums that'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks. We do like to step aside from time to time when there are forums that are coming up. There'll be a list of those, I believe, on the website. So go to 959WATD.com. Political, I think we have a link for Political Central and all the upcoming forums that we have. And I know there we have the Kingston Selectmen, I believe. So I'm just kind of, this is off the top of my head here, spitballing. Kingston, we have Plymouth. There are a couple of other ones. And then we're going to have later on this year, we got, you know, the state races, the midterm races for State Senate, State Representative. You'll see. We'll be right there in the front row speaking with the candidates, so you'll know where they stand on the issues so you can vote for them. Okay, let's now turn our focus to our guest this evening, gentleman who is going to be joining us in just a moment, is somebody you have heard on here previously. I get a chance to have him on usually right at the conclusion of the season. A lot of times there is the hope that we're going to be talking a little bit about playoff hockey. Unfortunately, this is like the second year in a row that we are having the radio play-by-play voice of the Boston Bruins, Dave Gosher, on to talk when the Bruins are not in. They didn't make it again this year. And so we're going to turn our attention and talk to Dave Gosher, who joins us now. Dave, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
First and foremost, I have to say is I was kind of hoping, I want to say maybe 3-4 weeks ago, I was excited because the Bruins seemed as though they were tracking well. They were they were in the conversation of maybe hosting, you know, the first series being the home team, home ice. And oddly enough, that's not the case now. They're game 82 and come and gone, and the Bruins are at home.
Yeah, sorry, it was hard to watch, Kevin, to be honest with you. You're right. I mean, they went from first place and potentially home ice advantage in the first round, or first couple of rounds, I guess, to trying to hang on, and then eventually to flaming out again in the last game of the year. So it was it's kind of inexplicable, to be honest with you, how it all kind of came apart on them. And I, you know, as they were going along and they were on a good run, I would usually kind of just keep track of the team that was in ninth place. And the Bruins at one point, they had an 11-point cushion on a playoff spot. That's how far they were going to have to fall. But, you know, you lose the amount of games they did, especially the games in regulation. I think it was, eight of their final 12 in regulation. And getting no points out of those, it was excruciating, really, to see the team go through that. But here we are for the second straight year where they're out of the playoffs, which is, as I say, it was hard to take.
Let's kind of take the season as a whole. It seemed as though the season was a roller coaster ride. What was it like from your vantage point getting to witness and call all 82 games this season?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I thought last year really felt like a bit more of a roller coaster because they would have these enormous swings in their play from good to bad. This year, you know, the ironic part about the whole thing is up until the last 12 games or so of the season, where they went down the drain, they hadn't lost more than 3 games in a row all year in regulation. So I think that was what was really mind-boggling about it. But at the end of the day, it turned out where they were able to sustain it for the first 70 games or so, and then it really started, I guess, with that California road trip where the Bruins went out there and lost to all 3 teams. And I think in 2 of those 3 games probably deserved a little bit better, especially against San Jose and L.A. That didn't happen, and then it just seemed to slowly, get worse. Came home, made a quick trip to New York and lost. Came home to Florida and lost. And, you know, the next thing you know, they really were going in the wrong direction. And but, you know, I think at the end of the day, as I say, Kevin, it's, this year was probably, it was a bit more of a surprise just because they had been, for the most part, the results had been more consistent, at least through the first 70 games or so.
And the odd thing was, it was something odd that I followed all year, and I'm sure it's something you and Bob Beers, your broadcast partner, were keeping an eye on. But this Bruins team did much better on when they were visiting somewhere than on their own home ice. It seemed as though they struggled in front of their own audience.
Yeah, and I don't really have a reason for it. It's a good point, and I think the hard part about it is, you know, if you look at it, they started the year at home 0-3 right out of the gates, and it was against Winnipeg, Montreal, and Tampa Bay. And at the end of the year, they lost 2 out of 3 at home to kill their playoff chances. And, but at that point, it was they lost in a shootout to Carolina. They lost that final game and got blown out by Ottawa. So it was one of those seasons where, yeah, on the road they were much better. Now, having said that, late in the year, it didn't really seem to matter where they played. You know, as I mentioned, they lost those 3 games in California. They lost a game against the Rangers in New York. They went to New Jersey and lost an enormous game. You know, they, would they have loved to have gotten a point out of that game in New Jersey? If they did, they would have been in the playoffs. So, it was an odd year for the most part in that their home record was not good. It was never really good. But on the road, they were much better until the final 3.5 weeks or so. And then, regardless of where they were, they had a real hard time finding ways to win.
Another small stat that I followed and I watched is this team did well, at least up to the 70th game or in that area, putting the puck in the net. They were one of the top scoring teams in the NHL at one time. They even had the top power play during the season, earlier on in the season, but yet struggled in the final 12 games. I mean, how does that happen?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I wish I had a better answer for you. I think that, their power play had gone south for a little bit, where it dried up. David Krejci had missed some games earlier in the season, missed about 10 games. He was injured with a shoulder injury. He came back, and I don't think there's any question that he was playing injured. As a matter of fact, he came out after the season. He's going to need hip surgery. But, there was more to it than that. Their inability to score in general, be it on the power play or even strength late in the season, that really showed up again. I mean, they lost, I believe it was 2-1 in a shootout to Carolina, and they only scored one goal in their final game of the year against Ottawa. So lack of finish, I think you heard a lot of that, lack of ability to generate at times quality scoring chances. I think maybe a lack of a bit of hunger to finish to score goals was probably part of it too. And just too much inconsistency, I think, to be honest with you, Kevin, in terms of their, up front. I mean, there were some guys you could count on almost every night, mm-hmm. whether it was Bergeron and Marchand or Erickson or Krejci to a large extent, although, the final 15 or 20 games were a struggle for him. Bolesky you could count on from a physical standpoint. He seemed to bring a lot of energy every night. But past those four or five guys, it was you really weren't sure what you were going to get on a night-to-night basis, especially as it got later in the season, and it's hard to win like that.
We saw the trade deadline come. The big buzz was, what are the Bruins going to do with Louis Erickson? We know Louis is going to be a free agent. He'll be testing the waters. It'll be interesting to see what happens, if the Bruins will be able to bring him back or if he's going to seek more money, seeing that I believe his wife just had their fourth child. It'll be interesting to see what ends up happening. But they brought in a couple of guys, Lee Stepniak and John Michael Lyles, and it seemed as though bringing them in kind of bolstered the club for a couple of games, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I agree, and that's what makes it even more stunning, I guess, that it fell apart down the stretch. Is so you get to the deadline, and there's two roads you can take. You can either be sellers, or you can go and try and strengthen your team. And
right.
I think the Bruins felt at that point they had done a real good job of hanging in the playoff race. And they didn't get a deal they wanted for Louis Erickson, so they weren't just going to give him away for nothing. So they figured, all right, we'll keep him, deal with his unrestricted free agency down the road, and let's strengthen the team, which they did with Lyle and with Stepniak. And the first seven games, they were 5-0-2 after the deadline with that group. But then, as I say, they were not able to keep that going. And, that's what just makes it, just mind-boggling how the season ended for them. And, it leads to a lot of questions, Kevin, going forward. I don't think really they can get by now without a significant move. We've seen this 2 years in a row where they've flamed out down the stretch. And, it's another, unfortunately, a wasted season for guys in their primes like Bergeron and Marchand and Rask and others.
Right.
So I'll be curious to see what I don't envy the spot that Don Sweeney and Cam Neely are in right now, because they've got a lot of work to do.
A lot of folks, when you talk about change, one of the first things that there were some folks who were saying, there has to be change with your coach. And we found out just a few days ago that Don Sweeney is going to stay with his coach, Claude Julien, and feels as though it isn't him. So I ask you, as somebody who has observed this team for a number of seasons, year in and year out, you've seen this team reach the top of the mountain and be able to, raise the cup. We saw that the 2010-2011 season, the Bruins, after nearly 40 years not having, a drink out of the cup, finally winning the cup. But now here we are. We're on the backside of that trip up the mountain. And, you know, we're a few short years from the Bruins. They won the President's Cup, where they had, you know, the best record in a season, and then go to miss a couple of years in a row. Who is to blame? Where does the blame start? Where do you make change? Where do those changes need to be made in as far as in this team? Is it necessarily that you have to make trades, or is it a matter of that maybe it's something in a philosophy that has to be instilled and has to be instilled now? Your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think, Kevin, it's you know, the concern is from that night in Vancouver in 2011, and then a couple of years later, they're within two wins of another cup, and then they win a President's Trophy in 14. I think that the concern is over the last 2 years, it's they're headed in the wrong direction, and you know, so my thoughts on it are something has to change. They can't possibly go into another season with the status quo, having seen what happened here for the second year in a row. I put most of it, Kevin, on the players. I don't see how you would not be able to have the passion and the energy needed to win your games at home to get into a playoff spot down the stretch. Now, that's maybe a separate conversation. I think there's been a lack of leadership to a certain extent. I think there's been kind of an erosion of that, as you've seen certain guys either be traded or leave over the last few years. And they have not made up for that. You know, Char is the captain of the team. Bergeron's a terrific player, one of the best in the game. But in terms of leadership that will call guys out and maybe get in guys' faces, I think they've lost some of that. And it's crucial for teams if they're going to win. And I think their blue line, I mean, it was a problem from game one of the year right down to game 82 of the year. Somehow, some way, they have to find a way to have a better defense back there, because that was an Achilles heel from start to finish this season.
Yeah, we're speaking with the radio voice, a play-by-play guy, Dave Gosher, talking to him about the Boston Bruins. What happened to the 2015-2016 Boston Bruins? And as I asked you, the last thing I had asked you is you know, take a look at this team. Compare it to the squad, the 2010-2011 squad that won the Cup, the 2012-2013 that at least was in the conversation with Chicago. What, in your estimation, do you feel is going to need at least the players on the ice? Or is it more so behind the bench? Is it in the front office, that mindset, to get that team to at least that conversation, to at least that they're in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, you know, and they don't have much left, unfortunately, from that team either, Kevin. Right. You know, if you look at it, Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, Rask, Chara, Seidenberg, that might be it. And I'm just thinking kind of quickly off the cuff here. McQuaid would be part of that. Krug in the 2013 team that went to the finals. But, you know, if you look at the players that they've lost, for whatever the reason might be, you know, be it trade, be it free agency, salary cap issues, whatever it might be, they've, you know, some key people from those teams are gone now. And, you know, I think this year they talked a lot about it being a transition season, and I understand that. They're trying to get younger. They're trying to get some fresh new blood in that lineup. They're trying to build it through drafting. You know, they've signed some of their free agent college players here recently that they want to give every chance to make the team next year. And I understand all that. But you also need proven players, I think, at the NHL level, and especially on the blue line, and I would even say up front as well, where, you know, there's been a lack of depth, I think, that's kind of shown through over the last couple of years. And, you know, as they say, it can take time to do it. It just, you hate to see, or at least I hate to see, prime seasons of these guys just kind of go by the wayside and not get into the postseason. So, you know, I look last year, this year, Kevin, at how hard the Flyers played to get in. And I look last year at how hard Ottawa played to get in, and that great run they went on. And, you know, for the second straight year, I didn't see that in the Bruins. So, you know, as I say, back to my earlier comment, I think they're going to need some sort of significant changes here to get this team back where it wants to be.
Let's not be all doom and gloom here. What was some of the bright spots? I mean, you look at some of the young, the Frank Vetranos who were brought up. The kid was lighting up Providence, and they brought him up, and he seemed to be a spark. Ryan Spooner, he seemed to be a kid on the half boards that was could be exciting at times. Give me some of the bright spots, at least, that the Bruins can build on for next season.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you hit on a couple of younger guys in Vetrano, who certainly at the American League level has showed the ability to score. You know, not, and that's not, it doesn't always translate, for sure,
right,
over to the NHL, but I think he's a guy they're pretty high on. Spooner, I think they like certain parts of his game. There's other parts they don't like. I think he kind of fell in line with a lot of guys late in the year that seemed to kind of fade down the stretch. His offensive abilities are pretty well documented, but I think they'd like to see him at a certain level, his compete level, be a little bit higher, and you know, defensively be a little bit better. They moved him to the wing late in the year to try and get his game going. You know, David Pastrnak has shown some signs over the last couple of years that he can score. He was one of the few guys that I thought had a good amount of jump in their final three games of the regular season, not just the Detroit game, but they played really well, but you know, he seemed to be going at the end of the year. So those are guys I think they look at. You know, Noah Wachari came up in a fourth line role, was decent for the Bruins as well. So yeah, I mean, I think that as you try to look to some of the positives, that they hope there's going to be some players here that, you know, unfortunately, Kevin, as we talked about, you know, that Stanley Cup is 5 years down the road now.
Yep.
So they've got to find a way to get some new bodies in that lineup, but also augment that with some guys that are going to be proven and experienced that you can rely on, especially, you know, as you get down the stretch and get late in the season, and you know, the regular season games they're tighter, they're tougher to play, everyone's battling for playoff position. You know, the Bruins need to find, you know, some better answers than what they had here the last couple of years.
Well, another conversation I'm sure that will be had is free agency, doing a little bit of research and taking a look at numbers. I believe the cap is going to go up a little bit for the NHL. Bruins have about $48 million on the books. They might have a little bit of money to play with. Are they going to be able to bring back a Louis Erickson? Let's not forget, the Bruins lost Chris Kelly early on in the season. I know that he was rehabbing and skating, and I think he's a free agent. Do you try to bring those guys back, or do you target other people, other players that might fit in for next year?
Yeah, I think it's probably two different scenarios with those two different guys. I think from the Kelly standpoint, I think they probably would like to have him back, but at a reduced rate. I mean, he was making $3 million last year,
right.
You know, in the final year of his deal. And I think Kelly would like to continue to play, and he had been back skating and practicing with the team for a while after that broken leg. So if it works financially, yeah. But if it doesn't, then, you know, he is a guy, though, I would say, Kevin, that, and sometimes he gets a bit maligned, I think, more so because of his salary than anything else. But in terms of missing voices in that locker room, he was one of them, you know, and he got hurt early in the year. And I think it's probably young players would tell you it's hard to be a voice in the locker room when you're not playing. You know, you can be around and you can be practicing, but if you're not playing games, I think that's a little bit of a different story. Erickson, I would be very surprised if he came back, to be honest with you. I think he'll be 31 this summer. This will probably be his last big contract.
Mm-hmm.
I think he likes playing in Boston, but I get the sense that as much as he likes it, that he would, you know, if he went somewhere else, I think he probably would be okay with that too. And if that's the case, then the Bruins are losing somebody that scored 30 goals for him this year. So, you know, if you look at it, those two players, Kevin, and then they also had Milan Lucic, his contract, they absorbed about $2.5 million, I guess, give or take, of his deal with the LA Kings after the trade last summer. That comes off the books this year. So just, you know, it's a little bit of quick math, but, you know, you could have maybe $10 million freed up right there. But, you know, it's not that easy. If Torrey Krug stays, he's probably going to get a raise.
Right.
Brad Marchand's going into the final year of his deal, then he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So they would have to figure that out too. So it's not as simple as saying, well, they're going to have a good amount of money to play with because they're going to have to sign some other players too.
Well, we also, I know last year you and I talked about it a little bit because the Bruins made some moves, had a number of draft picks. I want to say, what was it? Was it 14, 15, 16 or somewhere in that range? They had three consecutive draft picks.
Right. In the first round. Yep.
Yeah. And in the same conversation, I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at how those players that have been drafted or how the farm system is for the Bruins or any potential players that they could be looking at in this year's draft.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Kevin, I haven't. You know, I'd be lying if I said I would. I have. I mean, I know that, you know, to draft Sanderson and Zboril and DeBrusk there three straight in that first round, yep. I think they had to be pretty high in all three of them. You know, and then as I said, they signed Sean Corrali, who was part of the Milan Lucic trade with Martin Jones. He was actually a member of the San Jose organization. The Bruins flipped Jones to San Jose. They got Corrali in a first-round pick.
Right.
They've signed Mike Rizlik out of Boston University, so they expect him to compete for a job next year. So they've signed, you know, Brandon Carlo earlier this season, was going to be playing down in Providence, coming up in the playoffs as well. They signed Ryan O'Gara, a young defenseman that they like. So, yeah, there's no question there, you know, and in addition to those three first-rounders from last year's draft. So I don't think there's any question. They're trending younger, and they're trending to want to turn this over. That being said, that doesn't happen overnight. And to be able to expect these guys right away to be NHL-ready, hopefully that's the case, but that could be a bit of a stretch. So, you know, if that's the case, then you look to strengthen your team other ways. I have taken a quick peek at, you know, at the unrestricted free agent market. There's not much out there, really. So then that leads to more than likely them having to make, as I mentioned earlier, a significant trade or two if they're going to try and make this team, you know, better, quicker, for lack of a better way to put it.
Okay. Let's take our focus off of just the Bruins themselves. Take a look at the Stanley Cup playoffs. Myself, I don't know if I'm going to watch because the team that I follow isn't in the conversation. I don't know if you're the same kind of a guy where you're like, oh, well, I might look here and there, but I don't know if I'm going to follow it as much as I would as I'm in there calling the games. Who do you see? Who do you see coming out of this? Do you favor the Western Conference over Eastern? I mean, where do you think the Cup is going to be going this year?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Kevin. I've said to a couple people over the last little while, my interest fades pretty quick.
Yep.
if the Bruins aren't in it, you go down this road of whatever it's seven and a half months, and you know to see them not in it, and I think the way it happened the last couple of years, it's just hard to stomach. So I don't. I'll flip it on here and there, especially early. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it. I tend to probably pick it up a little bit later, you know, as you get into the conference finals, or maybe I'll watch some of the early games in the West because it doesn't directly affect the Bruins,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think the West has been, outside of the Washington Capitals, I think the teams in the West have been, you know, the dominant teams for most of the season, be it, you know, the LA Kings or the Dallas Stars. I'd be curious to see what happens with St. Louis. You know, the big question with the Blues is going to be, can they get out of the first round?
Right.
They've been out the first round three consecutive years. Can they snap out of that with a real tough first-round opponent in the Chicago Blackhawks? You know, do the Hawks have how much gas do they have left in the tank, really? You know, after three cups in 6 years and a deep run to seventh game of a conference final another season. A lot of the guys on that team have also played in a couple of Olympics. So, you know, can Dallas defend well enough in the playoffs to I think they can score enough. I think that's pretty well documented.
Yeah,
but can
question.
They play enough defense to win? The LA Kings are, I think, have been, you know, back in the playoffs. It's hard to forget they missed it last year. I think they'll be a contender again. Anaheim had a great run to get in, great second half of the year. So, you know, you look at those teams, and I think probably in the East, Kevin, I think it's Washington and Pittsburgh, really.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh's had a great run under Mike Sullivan, you know, Marshfield zone. Especially since the coaching change, they've been a much different team. And part of me just wonders if it's the Capitals' time, at least, if not to win it, to at least make a deep run. You know, the core of that team has never got past the second round. So
right. Maybe
this is their year. And, you know, with Holtby and Ned and how good he's been, but he's had a lot of help in front of him, it could be their year at least to go a long ways.
Gang, we are speaking with the Boston Bruins, the voice of the Boston Bruins, the radio voice, play-by-play guy, Dave Gosher. And I got to ask, probably the most important question I have to ask you during this whole conversation is, what does Dave Gosher do now?
I tell you, I've got nothing but time on my hands, you know. I don't know, a couple trips, you know, you try to unwind a little bit, Kevin. Yep. It's funny, you put off, or at least I do, a lot of stuff during the season because you don't have time for it.
Right.
You know, you're either preparing for games or you're traveling to games or you're going to and from. And so there's, you know, I've already got a pretty good list together of stuff that I'd like to get accomplished here in the not-too-distant future. And, you know, maybe a couple of trips here and there to get away and unwind a little bit. I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan, so
okay, the boss, yeah.
I think that might lead to a trip, maybe a little road trip with a buddy of mine to catch some music. But
you try to
just kind of unwind, maybe play a little bit of golf, spend a little time at the beach, and get to some stuff that you don't really have time for during the season. But it is odd. I would say this: it's the second year in a row where I didn't think I was going to have as much free time.
Right.
So it's I think Bill Belichick kind of described it when the season ends. It's kind of like a crash landing, I think is how he put it. And yeah, I think that's accurate. You're going kind of a mile a minute for seven and a half months, and then all of a sudden it stopped, and now you got to kind of figure out what do I do next.
Well, I hope whatever you end up doing, I hope we'll still hear you. Now, what happens with the hockey show? Does that cease on the Sports Hub? Will that continue on, or do you guys kind of do a wrap up in the coming weeks?
Yeah, we'll have one wrap-up show, and then that ceases. Yeah, they'll get into some other programming. But, you know, there's plenty of other things to talk about.
That's my favorite part of Saturday mornings is whether it's to hear you or you and Bob Beers, you know, breaking down, not only talking about the Bruins the week that was, but you guys also take a look at what's happening around the league itself, and I'm going to miss that.
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, it will cease, you know, and I'm sorry to disappoint. I'm sure it'll be full-blown Red Sox, among other things here, moving forward in that Saturday morning slot. But I think there's going to be plenty of things to kind of keep an eye on. A lot of it we've already documented.
Yep.
So I would expect it to be a pretty busy and a pretty eventful offseason.
Well, we want to thank you again for being a friend to the program and coming on and talking about the thing that you do day in and day out when it's in season, hockey. And we'll hope to tap you down the road somewhere again to talk about the Boston Bruins and what's going on with the team.
That sounds great, Kevin. Good to be with you. Take care.
Thank you, Dave. That, of course, Dave Gosher. He is, of course, the radio play-by-play guy for the Boston Bruins. You can hear him on CBS Radio's, I want to say, the Sports Hub, just up the dial from here, us here at 95.9 WATD. And it's great to have. Usually it's an annual thing where we touch base with Dave. Unfortunately, as we kind of said throughout the interview, it's kind of a shock, you know, that the Bruins have been eliminated, are not in the conversation for the playoffs. Hopefully, we'll see what changes they make and go with that. That's going to do it for us here at Monday Night Talk. Thank you for listening. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great evening.